Okay, we're going to continue on over in Galatians. And again, Paul is dealing with a serious issue there, false teachers that have come into Galatia. The same sort of things that abound today. Mm-hmm. That folks, you know, except you do this or that, you can't be saved. Well, if I got to do this or that to be saved, I ain't never going to be saved. And that's been Paul's point through this. And he's given his own testimony. He's shown how God worked through the patriarchs and the promises that God gave in the past. And yet, these Judaizers that are coming there and misunderstanding God's dealings with national Israel, and they were, well, except you become a Jew, you can't be saved. You got to add this to it and that to it. Well, Paul's already shown that God gave these promises to Abraham ever before there was circumcision, ever before there were, quote, Jews. And Paul continues on. We're going to pick up in about verse 15. And he talks about the permanence of God's promise. And I was thinking about this week, too, as I look back on it. We've talked about it so many times and reflected upon it. You know, God's everlasting covenant. God's eternal covenant. It's not going to be modified. It's not subject to change. Paul says in verse 15, brethren, I speak after the manner of men, though it be but a man's covenant, if it be confirmed, no man disannulleth it, or addeth thereto. Now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He saith not to seeds as of many, but as of one. And to thy seed, which is Christ. And this I say, that the covenant that was confirmed before of God in Christ in the law which was 430 years after, cannot disannul that it should make the promise of none effect. For if the inheritance be of the law, it is no more promise. But God gave it to Abraham by promise. And so, Paul's opponents might be forced to acknowledge that, indeed, the scriptures indicate that Abraham was justified by faith. And as we understand, again, clearly God-given faith, the faith of Christ. And yet they might argue, but you know, after that happened, then came the law, and so the rules changed. Listen, God's eternal decree, God's eternal covenant hasn't changed. The way God deals with individual men and individual nations may change from time. The perspective of how man views things may change relative to that. But God's eternal decree, God's eternal covenant, God's promises are not subject to change. And so when the law came along, it was never intended as something that would supplant faith as a means for salvation. And yet, we even see folks today, and folks who might be called dispensationalists or hyper-dispensationalists, that will argue, talk about all the various means of salvation in the past, and the various means of salvation that are set forth in Scripture. And even some speak of a different means of salvation that will be in the future. Oh, there's but one covenant, there's but one way of salvation that ever has been and ever will be. And so when Paul speaks to these saints in Galatia, his concern, his love for them, his fatherly attitude toward them is set forth when he calls them brethren. I mean, that's his heart's desire. He can't look at a man's heart, and he sees that many of them give appearances of maybe never having been regenerated by the Spirit, as they might be drawn away in these things. He says, let's speak after the manner of men. I mean, if he argues from the lesser to the greater, Now, if you and I make a covenant, if you and I make an agreement, if you and I write a contract, it's binding. Well, how much more so if that comes from God? It says, if a man, if I speak after the manner of men, if it be confirmed, no man disannulleth or added to it. No one can go and change a contract that I've made with someone else. God gave a promise to Abraham. He gave a promise to the seed of Abraham. And the first instance there where he's speaking of that seed, that spiritual seed. Those who would receive like precious faith with Abraham. The covenant of grace affirmed in human history. We've talked about this before. We'll look at it some more in detail today even. But Hebrews 13 verse 20. Now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant. Revelation 13 speaks of those that dwell upon the earth, whose names, those who worship the beast, whose names were not written in the book of life, of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. These promises were made to Abraham and were made to his spiritual seed. The covenant was made from eternity. It was manifested. It was affirmed in time. He says, he saith not to his seeds as of many, but as of one. Having in mind that one spiritual seed that Paul's going to talk about of the Jews and the Gentiles. That one spiritual seed of Abraham. And Paul gets into some things later on. As we understand that, we have to understand Scripture in context. Like when we see faith here, if you just take one verse out of context, you may not understand the faith of Christ, the faith of God's elect. But if you read all that Paul says about it, it's quite clear what he's talking about. And when he speaks here of the one seed, he's not saying that there's no difference at all anymore. And Paul's going to talk about that later. About Jews and Gentiles and male and female. Some folks take Paul's things out of context and say, oh, see, you can have women preachers. Have you read all of Paul? I don't think you can. You know, there's no difference before God. There's no difference in salvation. I think I fully will experience, you know, this talks about the last shall be first and the first last. I think there's a whole lot of preachers' wives, including mine, that, you know, will have a better standing than some of those preachers. That's not the point. It's what God has affirmed. And God has affirmed here that Abraham would have a spiritual seed. He said, not of many, but as of one, that spiritual seed. And then he refers to that specific special seed. He says, and to thy seed, which is Christ. Christ came from Abraham after the flesh. From Abraham came the Jews. Jesus Christ, as much as a lot of these modern day identity folks don't want to acknowledge, Jesus Christ after the flesh was a Jew. Salvation was of the Jews. The scriptures came of the Jews. And I realize, you know, presently on today they're under a curse. God says, I didn't choose you because you were better than anybody else. And they're not. But we acknowledge that God can choose and use and do what he wishes. So he's not referring simply to a physical seed, but he's referring to that spiritual seed and to that seed, Jesus Christ, that was all established in that covenant with Abraham. The blessing was always promised through that one special seed, that one Messiah of Israel, Jesus Christ. Galatians 3:19 a few verses down, Paul says, therefore, when serveth the law, or wherefore then serveth the law? It was added because of transgressions, till the seed should come to whom the promise was made. It was ordained by angels in the hand of a mediator. Jesus Christ was the seed of Abraham. Go back and read Matthew, get the genealogies in the New Testament. Matthew 1, verse 1. The book of the generation of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. And so a promise was made of God to Abraham. And relative to the promise, this law that came on the scene many years later has no relevance to the promise. Verse 17, and this I say, that the covenant that was confirmed before of God in Christ, the law, which was 430 years after, cannot be the null, that it should make the promise of none effect. For if the inheritance be of the law, it is no more of promise. But God gave it to Abraham by promise. Paul says, and this I say with certainty, I know this, that the covenant was confirmed before of God in Christ. And the law, which came along much later. And the date that he's referring to would take you back to the time that it was reconfirmed with Jacob, with Israel, which was, again, this thing that these Judaizers are arguing for, that you got to be an Israelite, you got to become a Jew. The law was given to Abraham even before that, before there actually were Jews, because Abraham's seed brought forth the Jews. That covenant was confirmed before Christ. Well, we already looked at Hebrews 13:20. It said that everlasting covenant, this is our hope, this is our peace, this is our assurance. Now, the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant. The psalmist, again, these are not new things. These are things that were established even before the foundation of the world. In Psalm 111, verse 9, this is a good verse for a lot of different reasons. Psalm 111, verse 9. He sent redemption unto his people. He hath commanded his covenant forever. He sent redemption to his people. Doesn't say, well, he gave everybody a chance. I was reading a fellow today that sometimes has some good commentary, but he, again, talking about how God gave everybody a chance. I don't know about you, but if I had just had a chance, I would blow it for sure. I'd be undone. No, but he sent redemption unto his people. He hath commanded his covenant forever. And those promises that were made to Abraham, God set forth his seal upon that, his promise upon that. And then that verse ends with something I always bring up to folks, and says, he sent redemption unto his people. He hath commanded his covenant forever. Holy and reverend is his name. Holy and reverend is his name. You know how many times that word reverend, or how many times someone is, in Scripture, is called reverend? Right there, this verse. Holy and reverend is. Do you mistake me for the fellow that this verse is talking about? Well, then don't call me reverend. I'm not reverent. He's reverent. And then, and according to the scriptures, there's only one that's reverent. And he is reverent. Why? Because he sent redemption unto his people. He commanded his covenant forever. He's reverent. Not a man. And I really realize some people do it in just absolute ignorance. Ignorance, but they're absolutely ignorant. It's blasphemy to call a man reverend. Then you think some of the folks they call reverend, Reverend Jesse Jackson, you know, Reverend Al Sharpton. I don't even know some of these other folks out there. I don't keep up with it all. It's blasphemy. It's just blasphemy. One more in 2 Samuel 23. In verse 5. This is speaking of David's condition, really. And this is how God's covenant works, how God's promise works. David says, although my house be not so with God, you know, I'm not everything I'm supposed to, and things aren't, and my house aren't lined up necessarily the way they ought to be. Although my house be not so with God, yet he hath made me an everlasting covenant, ordered in all things. Everlasting covenant, ordered in all things. And sure. And I'm just talking about, you know, David's lineage or David's physical things. David goes on. He says, for this is all my salvation and all my desire. It's not me. It's him. He hath made me an everlasting covenant, ordered in all things, and sure. And then he ends that verse again. He says, although he make it not to grow. David says, it don't look like it right now. You know, I ain't what I'm going to be. I ain't what I ought to be. And appearances aside, God is going to establish his covenant. And so Paul argues here that that covenant that God made with Abraham is established and sure. Anything else that came along the way, whether it be the law or whether it be, again, the reign of David and some of the things that happened in Israel, those things have no effect upon that law to that spiritual seed of Abraham, that covenant. That the covenant that was confirmed before of God in Christ, the law which was 430 years after, cannot disannul, that it should make the promise of none effect. The law to national Israel could not change the promise that was given to Abraham in any way. And that promise was not only of the seed within the nation of Israel, but the seed within the Gentiles. That which came centuries later could not disannul the promise of God. And then Paul makes the assertion, for if the inheritance be of the law, it is no more promise. You know, if you receive because of the law, because of keeping the law, because of something you did, then it's no more because of promise. That inheritance, the justification by the atonement of Christ, that comes only by the gift of God, by the appropriation of God given faith. And contrary to what these Judaizers were trying to set forth there in the Galatian churches, the way of salvation has always been through the faith of Christ. It was promised by God. It was unconditional. It was established and firm and sure. And a law, and that which was given by law cannot modify that. God gave the law for a different purpose, to national Israel and to teach men of their need. And so we see that election and salvation is unconditional. But the inheritance that he speaks of here goes to the heirs. And brethren, the elect of God are the heirs. And we've touched on this before. You can't make yourself an heir. You can say, well, I decide I want to be an heir to the Carnegie fortune. You can't do that. God makes you the heir. Romans 4, verse 13. For the promise that he should be heir of the world was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. For if they which are of the law be heirs, faith is made void, and the promise made of none effect. It was God's promise to the heirs, to those that are the spiritual seed of Abraham, who have like precious faith with Abraham, to the Jews and to the Gentiles. On Pentecost, Peter preaches this in Acts 2, verse 39. He says, For the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are afar off. All that are afar off. You know, the Gentiles. Even as many as the Lord our God shall call. He makes his elect heirs. He calls those that he has chosen. And you can't make yourself an heir by all the trying in the world. It's of God. Paul goes on in verse 18, back over in Galatians. If the inheritance be of the law, it is no more of promise, but God gave it to Abraham by promise. But God freely, without any considerations of the work of the law, God did it. Not Abraham, not any other man, not any works, but God gave it to Abraham by promise. Again, that everlasting covenant. Now, so it raises the question, perhaps, if all this be true, and the covenant was eternal, and the promise that's given to Abraham and his spiritual seed, and all that, then why was there ever a law? Why is there a law? And Paul addresses that in the answer to these detractors. And again, the law is not a bad thing. It comes from God. The law is not defective. Who's defective? What's defective? We are. Nothing wrong with the law. There's something wrong with us. Not my brother, not my sister, but it's me, oh Lord, standing in the need of prayer. And we'll pick up that next week and see what the purpose and the nature of the law. And Paul addresses this. And we'll continue on that. Let's take our hymnals. And we'll stand and sing a closing hymn together. Number 28. Take the name of Jesus with you. Number 28. We'll stand and sing this closing hymn.
the name of Jesus with you, child of sorrow and woe. It will joy and comfort if you take it then wherever you go. Precious name, oh how sweet, hope of earth and joy of heaven. Precious name, oh how sweet, hope of earth and joy of heaven. Take the name of Jesus ever as a shield from every snare. If temptation round you gather, breathe that holy name in prayer. Precious name, oh how sweet, hope of earth and joy of heaven. Precious name, oh how sweet, hope of earth and joy of heaven. The precious name of Jesus, how it fills his soul's joy. When his love beyond receive us, and his songs are tongues of joy. Precious name, oh how sweet, hope of earth and joy of heaven. The precious name, oh, how sweet, hope of earth and joy of heaven. At the name of Jesus bowing, falling prostrate at his feet, King of kings of heaven will crown him when our journey is complete. Precious name, oh how sweet, hope of earth and joy of heaven. The precious name, oh how sweet, hope of earth and joy of heaven.
Father, we thank you for this day, for the privilege to gather, Lord, for your word. Father, thank you for that promise. Thank you, Lord, for that covenant established and sure. Thank you, Lord, that our salvation doesn't depend upon the works of the law or anything that we might do. But upon your eternal will. Thank you, Lord, for making us heirs. Again, Lord, so humbling. So undeserved. Yet, Lord, you loved your people with an everlasting love. Father, help us to walk in the light of that truth. Show forth whose we are, Lord, to behave ourselves as heirs. And Lord, we know only that can be by your grace as well. Lord, thank you for each one that's here. Pray that you might meet the needs in each life. Lord, that you might be pleased to use us this week. To your honor and to your glory. Lord, I pray that we might have strength and wisdom and discernment to stand aright in these days. Stand in the old paths and pass for the old ways. Father, we pray for our brothers in the ministry, sister churches, our sisters and brothers in the Lord. Pray for those that need your healing hand. Father, again, we thank you for your everlasting love. We thank you for our Savior. We thank you for his completed and all-sufficient atonement. And it's in his name that we pray. Amen.
Amen.